James 5:16 says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We know the Bible talks so much about prayer, even in Jeremiah 33. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I could spend hour upon hour talking about the power of prayer and what prayer can accomplish. But I want to take tonight and just talk about practicing biblical prayer. A secondary title for this message could be, I almost titled it, Your Greatest Need. One of the greatest needs of the Christian life is having a prayer life, having a successful prayer life, a consistent prayer life. It's one of the greatest needs in the Christian life. Prayer is simply talking to God. I know there's deep theological definitions of prayer, but really, prayer is talking to God. It's taking the time. We know the Lord speaks to us through His Word, and we speak to God through prayer. Prayer is simply talking to God. And really, the only time the Bible talks about anything without ceasing, we see it says pray without ceasing. The only other time the Bible says without ceasing is when it's talking about prayer. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Romans 1:9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. He's talking about prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the verse we just read, pray without ceasing. And 2 Timothy 1 says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. The only command in God's Word that tells us to do without ceasing is prayer. Is prayer. Now, I know that in a crowd this size, listen up, teenagers, listen up, right up here at me. I know that some in this room, we don't pray like we should. I believe we can all say we don't. None of us pray like we should. Maybe it's that we pray for the wrong thing. Maybe it's not just that we don't pray enough, but we don't pray enough. We don't pray for the right things. We pray very selfishly. Maybe some of us don't pray at all. And maybe some in this room, you don't pray at all. Maybe because at one point you did pray and you just didn't see answers, so you stopped praying. Maybe there's some teenagers here tonight, some of our new, say, I don't really know how to pray. I want to talk tonight just about practicing biblical prayer. I want to encourage you to pray, but I also want to show you from the Bible what it says about how to pray. I know we have the passage in Matthew 7 that talks about that, but I want to go through just kind of throughout our Bible, and I know I'm watching the time. We've got about 15, 20 minutes, and if I get halfway through, three-quarters of the way through, and I got to rush the end, you can just fill in the blanks, and we'll have a good time. Number one, we'll start at number one. It takes it right from the passage, 1 Thessalonians 5. Number one is this, pray often. You can write that down. Pray often. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray often, number one. I know that we cannot pray. You know this, folks. We can't pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We got to sleep. We got to eat. But what it's talking about, that's letter A, we must have an attitude of prayer. Letter A, we must have an attitude of prayer. I think of Pastor as he was at the Detroit airport today flying out. You'll see there's towers everywhere, these air traffic control towers. Now, those air traffic control towers, they're not having a constant conversation with every pilot that's going in and out, but there's always a constant line of communication between that tower and those pilots. And that's the attitude of prayer. Always having a constant line of communication with the Savior, so at any moment of any day, we can talk to God. We can talk to God. We must have an attitude of prayer. Underneath that, why do we need to pray often? Because we are always in need of God. We are always in need of God and His power. That's why we need to pray often. None of us are above living without God. We need God. Without God, we are nothing. We know that. We are always in need of God and His power, which is why we need to pray often. And we pray for requests, we pray for things, but also praying for the Lord's power on our lives. Number one is pray often. We're going to move very quickly through this tonight. Number two, if you go over to Hebrews chapter 4, I'll get there. If you don't get there in time, I'll read it and you can listen. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Number two, pray boldly. Pray boldly. The Bible says, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Letter A, don't be afraid to come to God. Don't be afraid to come to God. I can think of many times out soul winning, talking to people about maybe asking the Lord to save them, or even about prayer or whatever we were talking about. And there's people out there that say they're scared to pray. Say, well, God doesn't want to listen to me, or I've done too much, and I can't pray. I'm too much of a sinner, and all these different excuses. Don't be afraid to come to God. Oh, I think of the prodigal son. Who thought his father, he misjudged his father's heart and thought that his father was going to just turn him away, or at least make him a servant. But he was wrong. It says he got to that road, that old driveway, and his dad saw him and ran to him, kissed his neck, and took him in with open arms. Don't be afraid to come to God. Let's go over to Luke 11. Luke chapter 11, talking about praying boldly. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Practicing biblical prayer. Number two is pray boldly. Luke chapter 11. We see the story starting in verse number 5. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. It says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And watch this. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. We see the story of this guy who goes to this house at midnight, to his buddy's house, and knocks on the door and says, let me in. I need some bread. I need help. And the person in the house says, no, it's too late. We're in bed. Please leave me alone. But look at what it says right there in verse 8. I say unto you that though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Letter B, importunity means insisting. Importunity means insisting. We see the story. He kept knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. Let me in. I need that bread for a friend. Come on, come on. And the other guy said, leave me alone, please. I'm trying to sleep. No, no, I got to get in. And finally, it says he got up and gave him what he needed. Importunity means insisting. Listen, I know we need to respect God and fear God. But listen, hey, it's okay to beg God. Hey, I'll tell you, a few weeks back when those twins weren't doing well at all, we didn't know if they were going to make it. You know what I did? I didn't just say, Lord, help them to feel better. No, I begged God that He would heal those two twin babies. It's okay to beg God to say, Lord, please, you've got to give me an answer. Please, Lord, I don't want to take no for an answer. Lord, please, Lord, save my mom, save my dad. Lord, get a hold of my son, get a hold of my daughter. It's okay to beg God. Importunity. It says it right there. The Lord gives us an example of that constant, Lord, please, Lord, please, please, help me, I need that answer, Lord, please. Pray boldly. I think of my kids, Donald and Seth. Donald, he calls his juice cup, for some reason he calls it his cupsome. I don't know if he heard us say, do you want some juice, do you want some milk? So he calls it a cupsome. And he'll come to me and say, Daddy, I want my cupsome. I want my cupsome. And he'll say, cupsome. And I said, finally, after all, I say, okay, I'll get you your juice cup, I'll get you your cup. I think of Seth with anything edible. He's the same way. Just insisting, Dad, give me something to eat. But listen, it's okay. It's okay to beg God. Don't be afraid to come to God. Listen, have some importunity and beg God. How much does that request mean to you? Hey, it's okay to show God how much it means to you. Say, Lord, please, I need an answer. Lord, please. Lord, please, please, please. Pray boldly. Number three. Matthew chapter 6. We'll go over there quickly. I'm looking at the time. Woo! Time flies on Wednesday nights, doesn't it? Matthew chapter 6. And I may just have to not turn to each passage, and we'll just move on if we have to. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5 says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Number 3, pray individually. Pray individually. Pray individually. Moving right down to letter A. Find a place for you and God. Find a place for you and God. I'm looking at Psalm 132. Verse 2 says, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes, nor slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord. An habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Letter A, find a place for you and God. Find a place where you and God can just talk, just the two of you. Just the two of you can talk to God, share your heart. That doesn't mean you never pray with people. That doesn't mean we never have separated prayer. That's okay to pray in groups. But listen, we need personal prayer time. Just you and God. Letter B, get away from the craziness of life. Hey, whether you're 7 or 70, life gets crazy sometimes. Even if you're retired, you folks should probably say, life does still get crazy. Hey, we need to find a place for God. We need to pray individually. Pray just you and God. Hey, Jesus went up into a mountain to pray. He went up alone to pray. Pray individually. The Bible says in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. Hey, you're not going to be able to be still and know that He is God when you're never getting alone with Him. You're not going to be able to be still and know that He is God when you're always in a crowd of people. Listen, you've got to pray individually. Pray individually. Number four, pray seriously. Pray seriously. Write that down, teenagers. Number four, pray seriously. Matthew chapter 6. I just read verses 5 and 6. And verse 7 says this, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Pray seriously. Listen, we pray before dinner, we pray before a trip. Lord bless this food, Lord bless this pepperoni pizza, help it not to, help the calories to just disappear, whatever you pray. Listen, but listen, we need to pray over our meals and thank God for them, pray for trips. But listen, let's pray seriously. Let's not just pray those times. Let's have a serious time of prayer. And listen, when you do pray, whether it's in a group or something, I think in the Pharisees, they were show-offs. They were show-offs. Don't be a show-off when you pray. No, be genuine. Hey, God knows, letter A, God sees your heart. Letter A, God sees your heart and He knows your motives. God sees your heart and He knows your motives. Pray seriously. Pray seriously. Letter B, just be real. Just be real. Letter B, just be real. God can see right through that. God can see right through. I think of some of our kids in the children's ministries. Listen, they can see through me sometimes. I may be able to say, make a joke around with them or tell them, who stole all the candy? I do that. So the whole candy box is gone. Somebody took it, and they can see right through me that I'm joking around with them. And you know what? The Lord can see through us. The Lord knows. The Lord knows our hearts. He knows our motives when we pray a certain way. He can see our heart. So let's pray seriously. Pray seriously. Be real. Be real. Number five, Mark chapter 11. Am I going too fast for you? No? Good. All right. Because even if I was, I'd still have to go fast. Mark 11, verse 24 says this, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, and here's the key word, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. Number five, pray with faith. Pray with faith. Letter A, believe that God will answer your prayer. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Believe that God will answer your prayer. It's not always easy. I'm only 25. I've had some very serious, but I know it's hard to pray with faith sometimes. Because you know what? Our logical human mind sometimes can't wrap around the supernatural abilities of the Lord Jesus Christ, of Almighty God. We say, Lord, help me to be able to pay these bills that I have due in just 2 days. Lord, I need $1,200 in 2 days. And you think in your mind, you say, man, I don't know how it's going to happen. In our logical minds, and you, listen, that logic can get in the way sometimes, can't it? It can get in the way of our prayer life. I think of my brother who told me, a few weeks back when the twins weren't doing well, and he was being honest, he was being very transparent. He said, listen, Don, he goes, I'm a logical guy, and that's to a fault sometimes. He said, I pray and I ask God to heal my kid, but or to help them. And he goes, it's hard. It's hard to have faith. It's hard to have faith sometimes. But letter B, we know the verse that says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Letter B is this. Faith isn't one way to please God. It is the only way to please God. Without faith, it is impossible, impossible to please Him. Pray with faith. You have a request that's dear to your heart. Maybe for health. Man, those ones are sometimes the hardest ones to have faith on because you're thinking, man, the doctor's already told me that there's no hope. The doctor's already told me that this isn't going to change. It's hard to not be a little logical sometimes, but God is a God of miracles. Hey, God asks us to do the possible, and He can do the impossible. He wants us to praise Him and trust Him and pray, and He'll do the impossible. Pray with faith. Hey, you got a lost loved one. Man, pray that God, if you say, man, I don't think they'll ever get saved. Hey, pray with faith. God can do anything. God can use someone in their life. You got a son or daughter or grandkids or something that are away from God, or even parents that are away from God. Man, pray. Pray with faith. Believe that God will answer your prayer. As the verse says in Mark 11, it says, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. It's a promise from God. Number five, pray with faith. Number six, pray thankfully. Pray thankfully. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into His gate with thanksgiving. Enter into His gate with thanksgiving. I know when I pray, I know the Bible also says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So whenever I pray, whenever I have my prayer time, you know what I start with? I start with, Lord, forgive me for this and that. And I always, you have to start with forgiveness. Perfect illustration, if I had a balloon here, just a helium-filled balloon, and me not confessing my sins to God and getting forgiveness, and I let that balloon go, you know where it's going to stop? Right there. Just like what our sin does. It creates a roof. But listen, if I confess that sin, get forgiveness from that sin, and say, Lord, I've messed up, Lord, I messed up doing this, I said that, I shouldn't have said that, Lord, I did this, Lord, forgive me, Lord, I want a clean slate, I want a clear channel right to you, Lord, please. That's like taking that balloon outside, letting it go, and we'll see how high it goes. But I start with forgiveness, but right after that, hey, the Bible says enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Man, I want to move right on to thankfulness. Say, Lord, thanks for being so good to me. Thanks for all that you've done in my life. Letter A, the more you thank God, the more you love Him. The more you thank God, the more you love Him. If I went out and bought my wife a dozen roses, okay, gave it to her, said, here you go, honey, gave her the roses. Here's probably how it would go. And this is probably not with just my wife, with anybody. Anybody you give roses to. They'll say, oh, thank you so much. Thank you for the roses. Thank you. Thank you so much. I love them. You're just such a great husband. You're such an awesome guy. I'm so glad I married you. And then, I love you, Donald. I love you. Thankfulness leads to love. It always leads to love. I promise you, you take some time tonight or tomorrow, whenever you have your prayer time, and just start thanking God for things. Start thanking God for this, that, the other thing. Lord, thank you for my salvation. Thank you for, oh Lord, what you've done in my life. Thank you for, Lord, my Christian home that I grew up in. Thank you, Lord, for my church. And you could go on forever and ever and ever and thanking God. The more you thank Him, you know what? You're going to start realizing, man, God, you are so good. Lord, you've been so good to me, Lord. I don't deserve it. Lord, I love you. Thankfulness leads to love. Letter B, stop focusing on what you don't have and thank God for what you do have. Stop focusing on what you don't have and thank God for what you do have. Pray thankfully. Very easy to focus on those things we don't have. But let's stop focusing on what we don't have and just thank God for what we do have. The next time you get ready to complain about something that's not going your way, just train yourself, stop yourself and say, you know what? I may not have that, but Lord, I do have this. I have my health. I have my salvation. I have my kids. I have this. On and on the list could go. Stop focusing on what you don't have and thank God for what you do have. You'll be much happier, I promise. Number seven, pray unselfishly. Pray unselfishly. Colossians. I'm moving over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Do not cease to pray for you. Man, Paul said it. Listen, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11 says, wherefore also we pray always for you. Pray unselfishly. Listen, I know we all have needs. We all have personal needs and personal struggle. But the Bible says in Philippians 2 that each esteem others better than themselves. Pray unselfishly. Letter A, pray for others first. Pray for others first. You know someone in your... It's very easy. Lord, you're so good. Thank you, Lord. Lord, please, I need this. Lord, please, you got to answer this prayer. Lord, please help me with this. Lord, please. But you know what? I think God will bless and God honors those who say, Lord, I got a friend right now who's going through a hard time. Lord, I know I have my need, but Lord, I got a friend that's struggling. Lord, bless my kids. Lord, bless my husband, my wife. Lord, bless my family. Lord, bless our church. Pray for others first. God will bless that. God sees that unselfishness, that humility. Pray unselfishly. Letter B, why? Because someone always has a bigger problem than you. Isn't that the truth? Someone always has a bigger problem than you. Hey, you know what? It's hard to see that in the midst of our problems. I understand that. Easy preaching, hard living to remember that people... Because we focus on our problems. It's just human nature to say, man, I'm going through this. But remind yourself, that there's others with greater needs. There's others with greater... I think of those people in Sierra Leone with this virus. All, praise Lord, to live in a... Praise God for the city of Jackson. Amen. We don't have to worry about that right now. Someone's always got it worse off than us. Pray unselfishly. Last, and we're done. Number 8, pray comfortably. Say, what do you mean by pray comfortably? Let me read you a verse and I'll explain it to you. Pray comfortably. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this. I love this verse. It's such an encouraging verse. You know it. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Think of the verse in Proverbs 18 that says, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What I mean by saying pray comfortably, I mean just maybe there's probably something here that you could, and I'm using this as a kind of a, but you could outpray me any day of the week. You've been praying for many, many, many years, and you have a phenomenal relationship with Christ. But there may be someone here who your prayer life is very weak, maybe non-existent. You know what? You just talk to God like you talk to me. Listen, I understand we need to have reverence and respect for Almighty God, but God wants us to be real with Him. God wants us to be close with Him. Be comfortable with Him. Be able to come before Him and say, Lord, I've messed up. Lord, I'm being honest with you. I've messed up. Lord, you know I'm struggling right now. Lord, you know I'm hurting right now. God, please. Hey, that's praying comfortably. It's being comfortable with God saying, Lord, you love me so much. I know I can talk about whatever I want, Lord. Pray comfortably. Letter A, He is Almighty God, and He's also your friend. Isn't that amazing? The same God who created this whole universe is my friend. He's my friend. He's your friend, and He loves you. Letter B, close relationships usually aren't formal. Listen, me and my wife, it's not like we walk around and say, hello, Mrs. Savini, how are you today? No, we have a close relationship. We're husband and wife. We have close. We can laugh together. We can cry together. We enjoy time together. I think of me and the preacher. We have such a fun time talking and talking about ministry and joking around. And it's a close relationship. Close relationships usually aren't formal. Listen, yes, we need to have reverence and respect for God. Realize He is Almighty God. But listen, a close relationship, you can talk to God. Just fellowship with Christ. Just spend time with Him. Talk to Him. Praying biblically. Last quote right here. When it seems hardest to pray, we should pray the hardest. I hope that this quick lesson tonight encouraged your heart about praying biblically. Listen, this is all from God's Word about how we should pray. Praying often. Hey, that's what we can all work on. Praying boldly. Praying individually. Praying seriously. Praying with faith. Praying thankfully. Praying unselfishly. And praying comfortably. May we as Christians pray according to what the Bible says. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Ladies will come, play song 534. I'll pray, and when I finish praying, we'll stand together and sing out song 534. Lord, bless this invitation, God. Lord, if there's someone here today, Lord, that's not saved, help them be saved tonight, Lord. Lord, I ask You to bless these dear people. How many of you tonight would say, Pastor Donald, by the uplifted hand, I'll be honest and say before You and God that my prayer life is not what it should be. Would you slip your hand so I can see it? Hands all over the room, folks, all over the room. I encourage you tonight, quickly, just take a moment when we stand together and sing. Don't let that hymn book stop you. And when I finish praying and we stand together, you come forward and just say, Lord, help me to get my prayer life back in order. Listen, it's okay to sing. I understand we have the invitation song for a reason, but you come forward and ask God to help with your prayer life. Lord, we ask You to bless this invitation, Lord. Bless us, Lord, as we head out. Keep us safe, Lord, as we travel home. But Lord, please help us not to leave without, Lord, asking You to help us with our prayer life. Lord, the song we'll sing, Lord, it's talked about how sweet it is to trust in You. And Lord, we know that You can help us in our prayer life. You can give us reminders. You can help us, Lord. I ask You, please, bless these dear folks, Your precious name. Amen. Let's stand together. Turn to